And let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. That's how we're going to start it today, Matthew 5, verse 1. This is what it says. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down, and his disciples came to him. And then jumping forward to verse 14, Yeshua says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." And so what becomes known in the New Testament as the Sermon on the Mount, Yeshua is actually trying to create an image here from the past. And the image is, this is Mount Sinai. I mean, it's not on Mount Sinai, but it's an image of Mount Sinai. When Moses went up on Mount Sinai, and the Lord said to him, "Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." In other words, with the giving of the Torah to Israel, Israel was to become the light of the world, the light to the world. And now Yeshua is restating this at the beginning of his message here, that once again, he says to the people, who of course are all Jewish because they're all in Israel there, "You are the light of the world." So he's restating what was said on Mount Sinai. And then we come a little further in this well-known message to verse 17, and we're going to focus on Matthew 5, verse 17 for a few minutes, where Yeshua says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets, the Torah or the Nevi'im. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." And so the question is what does Yeshua mean by the word fulfill? And this verse and this word fulfill can be defined in a lot of different ways, and they have been defined in different ways, and I'd like to focus on them a little bit, and then on the definition that I think is what he's really trying to point out here. What does Yeshua mean by the word fulfill? Well, he could mean that it brings to completion the law and the prophets, the Torah and the Nevi'im. In other words, it brings it to an end or a completion. That's what fulfill could mean. But the problem with that conclusion is that it would contradict what Yeshua just said, where he says, "I've not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but I've come to fulfill them." So it can't mean that. The second option is that, in other words, "I've come to fulfill them personally." In other words, "I've come to fulfill the requirements of the law and the prophets so that you no longer have to do them any longer because," in other words, "I become like a substitute for you so that in me I do it all and now you don't have to do it anymore," which is actually the very traditional view in the church world of the meaning of this text. That's essentially the way it's been viewed traditionally. The problem with this is when you look at the rest of the message here, especially the next number of verses, it contradicts what Yeshua says. Because essentially what he says after he makes the statement is he begins to lay out a very high standard for living. In other words, he quotes the Torah back to the people, and he says, "This was said unto you at one time, for instance, 'You shall not murder. But I say unto you that he who is even angry with his brother shall be subject to the judgment.'" So in other words, he's not saying it's no longer applicable. In fact, what he's doing is he's raising the standard even higher for everyone else. So that's not likely what it means either. So what is it? The real meaning, I believe, is connected to the earlier statement that Yeshua makes in this chapter, which is that you are to be a light to the world. In other words, in the law and the prophets, They have laid out a standard and promises for the people of Israel. This is what God expects of his people from Israel to live by. And now Yeshua says, "I've come to do three things," I believe, and this is really the heart of what I'm going to say today, that I've come to walk them out personally. Yeshua says this, number one. Number two, to show you how to walk out this life. And number three, to empower you to walk out this life. I'll say it again. Number one, I've come to walk out these requirements, the law and the prophets. Number two, I've come to show you how to do it. And number three, I've come to empower you to live this kind of life. That's what I believe he meant. Now today's portion, Vayera, which goes back to Exodus chapter 6, this is where the Lord says in the very beginning of this portion, he says, "Look, I appeared originally to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But I appeared to them as El Shaddai. In other words, as God Almighty. But the name by which I am making myself known now, the Hebrew word, the Hebrew name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, the unpronounceable name, which is referred to as Hashem, I didn't make that known until now. And then he says this in Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, where he reveals his meaning. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, okay, Ani Adonai, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and you will be, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. So the Lord says here, Ani Adonai, I am the Lord. This is the Lord's name. And there's four things that are connected to my name here. My name means that I will bring you up, I will free you, I will redeem you, and I will take you as my own. And in fact, at the Passover Seder, the four cups of wine are connected to these four-part promises about the Lord's name and his character that is revealed in this text. In other words, what the Lord's saying is my name is connected to what I'm about to do for you. That's how I'm going to be known from now on. In other words, I have appeared to do this, which I've said I'm going to do. And then later, at Mount Sinai, a couple months later, this is where he says to his people, based upon all that I have done for you, now you're called to be a light to the world, to show my power to the world in my ways. And this is all revealed on Mount Sinai. Now, Yeshua comes much later. And I'm going to turn over to Luke chapter 5 to tell you a little story, because there's a problem that develops throughout the life of Israel. And Yeshua comes to confront this problem. And he actually does something. He comes to a man by the name of Levi. Now, Levi was a Levite. And Levites were supposed to be working in the temple. They were to be ministering unto the Lord. But Levi wasn't doing anything like that. Rather, what Levi was doing was he was levying taxes, so to speak. He was collecting taxes from the people, which is a complete opposite from the temple system, obviously, and so on. And so Yeshua comes to Levi, and he tells him to follow him. And so he gets up, and the next thing we know is Yeshua is having a big party at Levi's house. And then all the bunch of the religious leaders see this party and see who's at the party. And Yeshua's at the party. And they basically ask Yeshua, why are you partying with a bunch of schmucks, basically? This is the translation. And Yeshua says this, in quoting. He says, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but it's the sick. Like the Lord appeared to Moses and the Israelites to bring them out of Egypt and to give them a calling to become a light to the world, Yeshua has appeared to Israel because there's been a train wreck. That's what's happened here. And there's little or no light in the land. And so his name, Yeshua, which means salvation, has come to deliver the people, to bring them to the place where they were originally called to be. You know, this reminds me of a story that I heard a number of years ago from a friend of mine who was from South Africa. Actually, the Hammonds will enjoy this. But and he said that he remembers going, he was in the interior of the country. And in the interior, they have these massive ant hills. Is that true? Yeah, good, okay. Didn't want to make sure he wasn't lying to me. And there's these massive ant hills. And one day, he came upon one of these ant hills. And it was like crushed. The whole side of it was crushed in. You know, it either had been run down by some wild animal or maybe a big storm or whatever it was. And he looked down and he saw all these ants, like they're just running in complete chaos and confusion, trying to figure out what's going on with this anthill to try to repair it. And so he stood up over the anthill and said, ants, look, this is what's going on here. Do this, do this. Of course, the ants had no idea what was going on. And so he called down to him again, ants, ants, listen to me. It's very easy. It's clear how to repair this anthill. They couldn't understand him at all. And so what he said to me was, he said, when Yeshua came, it was like he became an ant and went down among the ants and explained to them what had happened to their anthill so that they could repair it and make it the way it was originally designed. And that's really, in a sense, what Yeshua has done. He's come down because there was a train wreck in Israel. And now he's helping them to establish all that God wanted to do. And how did he do it? He did it by walking out God's ways, showing the people how to walk them out, and then empowering them to do it so that they would become all that God wanted them to become. Without Yeshua, one cannot fulfill God's purposes. It's not possible. Sure, you can go part way with Yeshua. And just like then, there were people who were observing the Torah, who were serious about God. And just like today, there are people who are serious about keeping God's ways and so on. But the problem is there's little power without Yeshua. You see, for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God revealed himself as El Shaddai, God Almighty. To Moses and the Israelites, God revealed himself as Hashem, the deliverer from Egypt, the one who would take them out of bondage. And now with Yeshua, God reveals himself as the fulfiller of the calling, the overhaul of the train wreck. And in Yeshua, people can fulfill God's plans for their lives in totality. This is the meaning of Matthew 5:17. When he says, I have come to fulfill the Torah and the Nevi'im, it means, quite frankly, that he has come to walk out God's ways, to show them how to walk out God's ways, and then to empower them to fully follow God's ways. That's the coming of Yeshua. So, what happens next? In other words, we know this, and this is what we know today. So, how do we get from A to B? And I think it's explained well by the Apostle Paul in Romans 8, 28 and 29. And I want to look at that well-known passage, Romans 8, 28 and 29. Paul says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. This means being conformed in the image of the Messiah. God wants you and he wants me to be like Yeshua. Why? Because Yeshua walked out God's ways. He showed us how to do it, and he empowered us to be able to do them. This can only occur through him. There is no other way to be able to do what God has asked us to do. That hints the Lord wants you to be able to be like him. How does this happen? How do we become like Yeshua? I call it the squeeze. See, that's how we become like Yeshua. It's called the squeeze. You see, it's interesting. It's implied in Romans 8:28, because it says here that God, in all things, God works together for good to those who love him and are called by his purpose. So in other words, if everything that happened to us in life was good, in other words, if everything just went great, everything that we did, so in other words, we never got sick, right? We always get a raise on the job. We never even have to ask for it. Never argue with our spouses. Our children are great. They always do exactly what we say. New clients always come in our doors if we're business owners and so on. Then what the Apostle Paul said here, he didn't need to say. He didn't need to say God's worked on all things. You know, he works all things for our good. Why is that the case? Because we wouldn't need to even know that. It just automatically happens. Everything would just be great, hunky-dory, and we just kind of go on with life. But that's just not the way it is. He said these things because things don't always turn out real well. They always don't turn out well in our lives. Sometimes we go through major struggles. And it happens for two reasons, I believe. We deal with these things for two major reasons. Number one, it's a way for God to show his power. If we didn't need him, we wouldn't see it. If we didn't need his power, we wouldn't see it. Just like the Israelites in Egypt, when God revealed his name to the Israelites, he was saying, look, I am the Lord who's going to deliver you. Now, he didn't have to originally send him to Egypt. He could have come up with another plan. This didn't have to happen. But it was actually the Lord's will that they end up in Egypt. Why? So that he could show them his great power. And the same thing is true with us. He allows us to go through sometimes trying times so that he can reveal his power. Because if we don't need a miracle, we're never going to see a miracle, quite frankly. But when you need one is when you see one. And number two, things like this happen to us to be able to conform us to the image of the Messiah, to be like him. Why? Because in Yeshua reflects the fullness of God, and God wants you to similarly reflect him in your life. Let's be honest. Yeshua's life was not an easy life. Consider his closest followers, the ones who were with him all the time. Honestly, not great people, as the scriptures make clear. What were they like? Hard-headed, impetuous, vengeful, cowardly, fearful, faithless. You know what? Sounds like us. Sounds like Tikvah Israel, right? It's amazing how close that is. Now today, for instance, we're going to have a sisterhood meeting, right? And I can imagine what's going to happen down there if you didn't hear this message. Now, this won't happen after you hear this message by faith, right? But I can imagine what's going to go down there. Going to come down there, and your thought would be, I'm not going to work with that woman over there. She just rubs me the wrong way. So that's it for me. I'm out of town here. But is that what Yeshua said when he dealt with people that were difficult? Because there's always difficult people. What did Yeshua do? He loved them. He taught them. He corrected them. And he ultimately died for them. That's Yeshua's way. You see, through him, we have access to his faith. The same faith that he had that enabled him to overcome. In the book of Hebrews, it says this about Yeshua. That he is the author and finisher of our faith. So in other words, when trials come, that tests our very mettle, we can look to him for his power, and then by faith, we can see it through no matter what the situation is. Through him, we can be changed. That's what can happen. And we can deal with anyone and anything with grace if we're walking with him. You see, if he did it, we can do it. Why am I saying that's the case? Because he walked it out himself. He showed us the ways, and then he empowers us to be able to do the same things that he did. That's very simple. You know, I just want to say this in conclusion, that don't make excuses for falling short of God's standards in your life, really. That doesn't mean you're to condemn yourself when you fall short, but don't make excuses for it. Rather, confront it. When you see that you're falling short of the standards of the Lord, you need to confront it and deal with it, and repent, and get right with God. Because that's the way we learn how to overcome. And then please don't blame other people. But allow God to conform you and me into the image of the Messiah. Again, what Yeshua did, remember, is that he walked out God's ways. He showed us how to do it. And he empowers us to be able to do it like him. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the great promises of your word, O Lord. And Father, we thank you for Yeshua, Lord, who showed us the way, Lord God, and then he empowers us to be able to live that way. Father, he came for train wrecks, Lord, first for Israel, and then for the train wreck of the whole world. And Lord, we know that without him, Lord, we can't do it, O God. Father, we know that he made it quite simple, that Lord, that if we want to be able to live this way, to be an overcomer, Lord, to live the way that you want, O Lord. Father, he made it clear in the scriptures that he is the one who is knocking at the doors of our hearts, and he's asking us to open that door so that he will come in and he will transform us and enable us to live the way that you desire, O God, to be pleasing to you and to be an overcomer and not a loser, Lord. And Father, I just pray for anybody right now in this room, Lord, or even on television, Lord, who are hearing this, who's never made Yeshua the Messiah. This is the moment and the time to get right with God and to experience all the fullness that God has. Have your sins wiped away in one clean swipe, O Lord. And Father, all you have to do is just say to Yeshua, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I thank you for forgiving me of my sins, to laying down your life for me, and then rising again so that I might know you in your fullness, O Lord. Father, we thank you for all that Yeshua has done. Lord, help us to live in his power, to live like him, and to show and become a true light to the world. And in Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen. Let me close with the Aaronic benediction. Yivarech Adonai v'yishmarecha Yarer Adonai p'nav elecha v'yichunecha Yisar Adonai p'nav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace through the Prince of Peace, through Yeshua the Messiah. We all said, Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. If you need prayer after the service, please feel free to come forward. Someone will pray for you. Bookstore will be open, and we have...